Hello, everybody. This is Vicki, Return to Shambhala. Today is February the 27th. And I have a guest tonight. His name is David Santangelo. And he is an Arcturian channel and healer. Hello, David.
Hi, Vicki. Thanks for having me.
Great. I'm glad you have agreed to come on the show. David, how would you like the listeners to know you? I would like for you to present yourself, if you don't mind. I know you have a book.
Yes.
The Way Home.
Yes, correct. I do have a book called The Way Home. I guess you did a pretty good job. I am an Arcturian channeler and a healer. And I've been a spiritual healer for many years, and it was only recently in the last couple of years that the Arcturian channeling opened up for me. So that's what I do. I'm an Arcturian channeler, a healer, and a writer, and I work with people one-on-one, and I do a lot of group events, group healings, group prayers, group ceremonies, things of that nature. And that's what I do. That's what I love.
Well, that sounds wonderful. If people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to contact you for the teachings and the healing, the groups?
The best way to get in touch with me is through my website. It's www.StarOfArcturus.com. That's Star of, and then Arcturus is spelled A-R-C-T-U-R-U-S. So StarOfArcturus.com. I travel a good bit. I make my home in Oregon. I'm actually in San Diego doing some events right now. And I love to come places and do events, to do workshops, to do private sessions. I also do sessions over the phone and Skype. So you can contact me by email through the website, or feel free to call the scheduling number that's on the website.
All right, great. The website is the best way to go. Okay.
StarOfArcturus.com. All the information is on the website. Correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. I think we're all just getting we want to go beyond the earth. We want to move. We're tired of being in isolation and quarantine or whatever. We're ready to meet our neighbors, the people in the cosmos, and it's just so nice to talk about other civilizations, not just other countries anymore, because a lot of us have been to a lot of different countries, and we've seen the planet, we've seen quite a bit of the planet, but it would be so nice to learn more about our neighbors and the people that are here, the beings that are here to help us, who are offering their assistance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, Vicki.
Mm-hmm. You know, Norma Milanovic wrote a book called We the Arcturians, and I've been on some trips with her throughout the world, and one thing she remembers, she feels like she's an Arcturian herself. She remembers on her planetary system there was a bulletin board in some meeting hall or something like that, and it was help needed, volunteers needed for planet Earth. Please sign up. She actually remembers that.
I guess we signed up, huh?
Yeah. She remembers that so well. She said, oh, all right, I'll go, you know.
Well, you know, that's very much the way I see it. I mean, I know that a lot of people tend to work with guilt. You know, did we do something wrong? Why are we here? This place is so hard. We struggle so much here. There's so much suffering. And, of course, I've experienced those feelings in myself, in my own heart. But when I work with people and when we travel to other planets, which is basically interdimensional travel, we're really working in a fifth dimensional energy. In my sessions, they identify the person's star nation of origin, and they they take us on a journey there. They take us to a particular spot that's sacred for the person. It's like a temple for them that they can refuel, they can refill, they can remember their roots and their origins. And, you know, the feeling from all the beings there is like they have the most utter reverence and respect for us and admiration for us that we've taken this journey. It's big work here, and it's no small thing to come here, especially to come here with the intention of being a healer and a light worker and really try and transform this place. It's a big job, and, you know, we have a lot of support out there for taking this step, for getting on the bus.
So they're grateful to us. They admire us for what we're doing. That's nice to know.
Extremely grateful. Extremely grateful, and like spend all of their time working through us, if we're conscious of that, working with us to really manifest here what they know there.
Well, how would in your sessions then that they you would talk, the Arcturians would speak to the person, and this is where we can help you, you know, or you have that communication.
Yes, exactly. In the sessions, and this is the way it's all opened up for me. The Arcturus, you know, Arcturus is a big place. There's lots of different ways Arcturians might work with us here on planet Earth, you know, or work with other parts of the galaxy too. But the way they work with me is they work identifying people's what they call people's soul medicine, and they use the term medicine. It's kind of like an indigenous term, and mm-hmm. you know, the connection between the star nations and the indigenous is very, very strong. And if you look back throughout history, you'll find that different indigenous tribes, cultures have clearly identified, many of them have clearly identified their star ancestries, like the Sioux Indians, for example, say they come from the Pleiades, and so on and so forth. So they work with the medicines, the soul medicines, and I'll sit there and I'll channel the Arcturians, and they basically read a person's soul medicine, their soul essence, their fifth dimensional body that's connected to their, you know, their star nation of origin. And, you know, it comes to an archetype. So, you know, for example, they call me a record keeper. That's my medicine archetype. And the record keeper job is to read the Akashic records. And then they take it another step further, and they'll talk about your individual way of bringing your medicine into the world. And so my job is to read the keep record of the soul medicine. And so it's like once you so they identify that for people, and you know, it's like once you see that, once you kind of remember, because they say it's all remembrance work. It's like there's nothing we don't already know. It's what our souls know. You know, mm-hmm. we're vastly traveled beings. We're divine beings. We really are. And so they hold it like reawakening your consciousness to your essence, to what you are, to the gifts that you carry. And through that remembering, really working to bring that essence here to Earth. So, you know, putting that first and foremost, really embodying these gifts that we carry, these medicines that we carry. And literally realizing, just like, you know, certain plant properties make up a medicine that might be good for stomach flu or an earache or something like that, you know, a certain soul medicine is going to be medicine for a certain state of dis-ease or a disease, not disease, but they say dis-ease, like with a dash, right?
Right.
A certain state of dis-ease in the collective consciousness. So, for example, someone with a strong medicine around forgiveness will address that in the collective consciousness. And when they bring their medicine through, it's going to work to heal feelings of guilt, feelings of, you know, whatever, not, you know, where people aren't forgiving themselves. That person will carry strong medicine to heal that in the collective consciousness. And that's really the way that we, you know, you were talking about, you know, leaving this earth plane, really traveling to another reality. You know, in my experience, that's really the way we do it. We do it by healing or releasing or letting go of these limiting beliefs, you know, that we carry with us from our ancestry and just kind of the world, earth consciousness. And as we heal them, as we let them go, we literally raise our vibration and we transform this world and into what the Arcturians like to call. They say this world is meant to be a paradise on Earth, and that's really how they talk about doing it, and that's the work that I do.
That's wonderful. I don't want to be a copycat of another civilization. I don't want to do it just the way they do it, but I love having ideas of how other civilizations educate or how they learn, how they eat, how they have children, because it takes you out of this limited reality that we have here. Oh, we have to have the four food groups, and can you tell us a little bit about what the Arcturians are like, the way they presented themselves to you, what the relationships are? Do they get married? Do they have children? Do they have iPods? I mean, how do they do telepathic? I feel like the internet and these kinds of things where you can get instant information. Oh, I want to know something, and you just put it in the computer. That's kind of a little piece of what it's like to, like you said, have cosmic consciousness. You can know everything. And I think the internet is kind of a stepping stone to that point where we can remember all we mm-hmm. need to know. But back to my question, what can you tell us what the Arcturians are like, kind of what their civilization is like?
I can certainly give you my experience of their civilization. And you know, I mean, after I began, you know, channeling the Arcturians, and I mean, it all happened very, very quickly for me. I was told by a psychic in Oregon that I had to write a book in 3 months, and this was in fall of 2009. And you know, so I sat down to start writing this book. And
now, what book is that? Is that the Way Home book?
That's the Way Home. Yes, that's
okay.
My book, The Way Home.
Uh-huh.
And you know, so that's how that happened. And I was a literature major in college, and I know how to write. And I spent about 2 weeks sitting in front of my computer. Would wake up at like 4 a.m. try to write this book that she told me was very important for me to write, and nothing happened. About 2 weeks in, I felt a portal open, kind of on the right side of my neck area, and I saw a council spinning through space of big blue beings, tribal-looking beings, very tribal-looking. It's fall of 2009, and they were emanating from a blue planet. And I said to them, well, who are you guys, and where are you from? You know, they started speaking words to me, right? And my fingers just started moving. And then I would ask them, who are you, and where are you from? And the answer they would give me was home. So they would said, you're one of us. This is your home. So I realized at that point I was Arcturian. And I saw, and the ones that come to me are blue planet Arcturians, and I believe there are several planets, you know, in the Arcturian star system. I've seen a white planet, I've seen a green planet, and they're different shapes, different sizes. You know, the white Arcturians, they have long white hair. They're winged. I see them winged sometimes. The blue planet Arcturians that I work with, they're big. They're between 7.5 and 9 feet tall, roughly.
Wow, that's tall. Yeah,
they're very tall. In fact, after I finished writing The Way Home, about 6 weeks later, somebody said to me, "You should go see the movie Avatar. It's really cool."
Oh, right.
Have you seen that, Vicki?
Sure,
yeah.
Many times. Yes, I love it.
Okay, so I sit down in the movie theater and I'm with my wife, and the movie theater's packed. This is, you know, and I haven't seen a theater packed in years. I mean, there was no seats. We had like two little seats in the corner in like the second row, you know. And we've got the 3D glasses on. All of a sudden, they show the they show the planet, and I'm kind of like, wow, that feels familiar, because they took me to the planet one morning, and there was a waterfall, and it was very lush. And then they show the Na'vi, the big blue beings, and I swear to you, I nearly fell off my chair, because they look almost identical to these beings that are coming to me. And the ones that were coming to me at that time were a council. They were a council of elders. And so I ran home, and I was like, kind of like freaking out. I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. Something bigger is happening here. Mm-hmm. I did some research on James Cameron, who, directed and wrote Avatar. And it said his mother used to like work with or channel a big blue woman. And, you know, so I saw some connections there. And, I Googled Arcturians, and it said Edgar Cayce used to work with the Arcturians, and it also said on the internet that Arcturus is governed by a council. And I said, oh, okay, that's the council that's coming to me. So that's a really good, that film is actually, though, an excellent depiction of what life is like on Arcturus. And the blue planet looks very similar to what Cameron has built as Pandora. It's very lush, and it's like Earth, right? There's different environments, for sure. But the places I've been taken to on the blue planet are very, very lush. And they have a deep reverence for nature. I mean, I think, you know, and a deep respect for all living things. There's not this separation. There's not this hierarchy that you often see on this planet and this vibration. There's a very much a reverence, very much an honoring, very much a state of equality between the Arcturians themselves and all living things. So there are plants, there are animals, there are waters. Everything's got a lighter vibration, so the colors are much richer, because it's fifth dimensional, so it's like it's not as dense as it is here, so everything's much lighter. They are governed by a council of elders, and this council, they call themselves the High Council of Arcturus. They keep the laws. They keep the old ways. They keep the old ways intact is their job. So when they speak to you, it's very much like sitting in a teepee or something with grandfather or mother, right? They're very direct. They don't really like, you're not going to tell the council how it is. They're going to tell you how it is, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how they speak. Yeah, right, because they're old. Yeah, yeah, they're like old. They're very old, and they carry that vibration. As far as children and marriage, I haven't received a ton of insight. I mean, they definitely have partnerships. I'm clear on that. They are born. I mean, I believe they live at least 400, if not more, years. But it's a little confusing to say that's their lifespan, because they don't die the way we die. Their vibrations are already lighter, and they're already more attuned with their spirit, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So they don't die the way we die, but they do have some kind of lifespan, as far as I can understand. And I believe it's at least 400 years, if not more.
Krishna is blue. Krishna in the Hindu religion, Krishna is blue.
Yeah, the thing about the blue that I understand, you know, Edgar Cayce says that Arcturus is the highest consciousness in our galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And they often say, the reason my book's called The Way Home, because they often say that they are the keepers of the way home, that they are the Christ consciousness, that's the purpose of Arcturus. And I've gotten that through my channeling, and I've also gotten that through other channels, people who've worked with the Arcturian energy. So I believe that's what the blue is about. You know, to me, you know, you can call it Christ consciousness or Buddha consciousness. It's that state of, it's like a state of enlightenment. It's a state of like Krishna awareness, right? Like however you might describe that. And
well,
that's really, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well,
I was just going to say that's really their, you know, every star nation like Sirius and Pleiades and, you know, Vega and Andromeda, and if you go around, they'll have their different medicines themselves, right? They're different things that the vibrations that they're the strongest in, that the things that they're reminding us of. And Arcturus's thing is home. It's reminding us of home. It's reminding us of the Christ consciousness. That's its purpose in the galaxy, is to remind us of that state of Christ consciousness, that we all can be, that we all can embody that state, that we all can have that much love and compassion and deep surrender to God or spirit or oneness. We all can attain that, as Jesus demonstrated, you know, on Earth.
Sure. Well, this might veer off the subject about what you're talking about, but I just noticed this week on the internet there was a picture of a family in Kentucky that they're blue, and they showed it back in the past, and they were just as blue as you could imagine, and they've had children, and the children are blue. So I'm wondering.
Are you kidding me? That's crazy.
You can look it up. Yeah, the doctors have, or the geneticists have said it's some sort of a rare blood, something or another. Mm-hmm. But I'm just wondering if they haven't tried to put our DNA, mix our DNA to uplift our physical bodies, and somehow that came out in this Kentucky family. But they the whole family was blue. It was amazing.
That's pretty wild. Yeah, yeah. And you know, there's other beings. I've seen Andromedans that are blue. I've seen Syrians that are blue. So there's other beings that do have blue, different tones of blue as well. So, you know, I really can't answer that question as to what that family is doing. But boy, I would love to do a reading with them and see, because
wouldn't
sure
that be interesting?
On.
Yeah, they look like a just. It was amazing. It was a big family picture.
Yeah. Wow.
Do they have money? How do the Arcturians, they do energy exchange, or they don't have money?
Yeah. They don't have money. They don't have money, but if we look at money, money's just energy. So yes, they do have energy exchange. They have their whole societies are based around soul medicines, right? So basically, when a child is born into Arcturian society, their medicine is identified. It's like their soul medicine is seen, their particular gifts. So again, just to use forgiveness as an example, as a hypothetical example, you know, if a child is born with the medicine of forgiveness in a certain type of way, it will make study of that way. They'll work with that divine energy of forgiveness, and they'll work on projects. You know, they'll either stay at home on Arcturus, or they'll travel to other places. Maybe they'll get in a spaceship and go somewhere. And it's very much like every time I go there, and to really all these different star nations that are really working for, you know, kind of like universal healing. You know, every place is very much like a temple. You know, so you have different areas, and they're all very natural. So nature is always very strong in their architecture. You know, mm-hmm. So they have like the Arcturians use like this certain kind of crystal. You see a lot of like white crystalline structures on Arcturus, and I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I believe it comes from Arcturus. So you'll see a lot of their temples, a lot of their buildings built out of this white crystal. I believe it's just like a really good energy transmitter. But they're always using nature, so all their structures have a lot of natural influence. Water, plants, animals are always very present. They're always communicating with animals, like the whales and the dolphins, and you know, whatever, the different animals. And they don't need money. You know, they understand medicine. So, like, if we understood medicine, we wouldn't need money. There wouldn't be any poverty. there wouldn't be any war, really. I mean, it would just, you know, we would all work in our medicines, and we'd be working for a greater cause, and it wouldn't be so much of like, well, what have you done for me lately? It would be like, oh, what's your medicine? Oh, yes, that's needed. And, you know, we recognize, you know, that you bring the medicine of forgiveness, and we recognize you bring the medicine of unity, and you bring the medicine of an aspect of science, perhaps. And everybody works in their medicine, and everybody's, you know, everybody's able to eat and live equally in that way. So it's very different than it is here. I mean, that whole mindset of separation and some people having and some people not having, as this earthly culture is, that doesn't exist there. That whole they don't even understand what the word lack means there. It's like they you know, one of the you know, soul healings I do a lot is around lack, and just clearing lack from our collective consciousness, because it doesn't exist. It's such a low vibration, and you know, they don't even understand what that means, because they see that everybody's a gift, everybody's sacred, and there's nobody has more and nobody has less. There's no, even you know, the Arcturian Council, you know, as they're the governing body, it's like they're not above anybody. It's like they're equal. Everyone's equal, and everyone's sacred, and so they don't need money, you know.
Right. I mean, everybody, to me, everybody has the right to have a comfortable place to live, to put, you know, to have their space, and it shouldn't have to cost anything. It shouldn't. There shouldn't be a mortgage on that, owning the land or owning that. We should be able to create whatever we want, whatever we need. And then if we have gifts, like if we're an artist or something like that, and we want to exchange a massage for a sketch or something like that, then that's fine too. I'm just trying to open my mind to what it's like to be where we're trying to go with this, because I don't want to have my thoughts on I've got to meet the mortgage this month, or I've got to buy I've got to make sure I have enough money for groceries. I should be able to create whatever I want to eat, whether it be an elixir or something like that, not toiling out in the farm or the garden to make ends meet or something like that. It just doesn't seem right. Sheldon Neidl talks about the Syrians having replicators, that anything you need, you just put it in there, like a piece of clothing. You can put in something and out it comes, and then you can recycle it. So when you're through with wearing that, you put it back in, and the energy takes the clothing and rearranges the molecular structure for whatever you want to wear next, so you don't have to worry about a wardrobe and things, collecting things that you don't really need.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and it says it in every holy book. It says it all over the Bible, the Quran, the, you know, Old Testament, right? I mean, it's like the Bhagavad Gita. I mean, any holy book that you read, I mean, it says, you know, have faith and God provides. It doesn't say, like, you have to toil, you have to struggle, like, you know, your life's about struggle and God's not there. You know, it says have faith and God provides. And, you know, they really take that literally. I mean, they take that literally. But see, you know, I think what needs to be understood, it's like I was driving in the car with my wife, you know, about a week ago, and she was reading something from the Course of Miracles. You know, most people are familiar with the Course of Miracles, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The whole passage was, you know, Jesus was saying there's no in-between. Either you choose body or you choose spirit. And you can't choose in the middle. And that's just the way it is. And that's very striking. It's like, wow, so either we choose body or we choose spirit. And what we're speaking about you know, if you take Syrians, Arcturians, you know, angels, you just, you take them out of the picture because, you know, what's most important is choosing spirit. And it's like, if we choose spirit, you know, we start to realize that there's so much support for us in these inner worlds, in these other dimensions. There's so much, and there's so much support for us here that manifests when we choose spirit. But when we choose body, you know, it's very limiting. It's very limiting. We die when we choose body. Life is suffering when we choose body. You know, the body breaks down. The you know, sometimes the weather is harsh, you know, and there's a lot of things that we can get stressed out about. But if we choose spirit and we continually choose spirit, you know, that's very much what happens. God provides, you know, the Creator provides. And these guys, you know, the Arcturians and many other, you know, advanced beings have gotten this. They understand this. And they have whole cultures and cities that operate on choosing spirit. And that's the biggest thing you notice about them. You know, they're not needing anything. They're surrendered. They're humble. They're really working with different aspects of God's essence or divine energy. And they're using that only for the purpose of healing, of cleaning collective conscious from, you know, limiting beliefs. And yeah, that's the way it's meant to be. I really do believe that. So that's what we're working towards here, you know? People like us, right? And that's what we're working towards. And there's many people on this planet working towards that right now.
Well, I know I'm affiliated with Children of the Sun out of Sedona, Arizona. And this summer, we called in the Arcturians to help us with all the deception that was going on this summer with the banking and all of the secrets that are being kept in the world. And I tell you that over the summer, all kinds of things started to come out. And then we got into occupying Wall Street, and the secrets started to unravel. And I know they were helping. I was in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico at the time, and I was overlooking the Bay of Banderas by the cathedral there for the Lady of Guadalupe. And when I called them in, the clock at the cathedral stopped. It just, boom, it just stopped. And I think that maybe their energy was a little too strong for the clock. But by the next day, it was repaired. But I could just feel them answering the call that they are here to help, and they are here to open the hearts of these, I'm going to call them banksters. They have a heart, too, and they want what is best, but they just don't really know how to go about it. And I believe the Arcturians can open their hearts and bring us into unity consciousness instead of dog-eat-dog, you know, profiteering and all of this.
That's a beautiful story, and it's very true. You know, the biggest thing that they say is important is, like what you just described, coming together in groups, intentioning, praying for healing, for positive earth changes. And, you know, it's like that Hopi poem, "We Are the Ones We've Been Waiting For." I don't know if you're familiar with that poem. It's a beautiful poem. And, you know, say in that poem, they say the time of the lone wolf is over, you know, gather yourself. And that is so powerful. We need to come together and just pray, just send our energy, just send our heart energy and our spirits to, you know, heal the world of hunger, poverty, war, you know, the banking system, the political system. I mean, whatever it is, it's like it creates these vortexes all over our planet, to where so much divine healing energy can flow. So that's the most important thing. And that's awesome that you're doing that, and many others are doing that.
We're all, yes, so many of us. During full moons, new moons, solstices, equinoxes, we're all getting together in consciousness. You know, I haven't seen hardly any of the Children of the Sun people. We don't meet, but yet we meet because we met. I went to Peru to Lake Titicaca for 11/11/11 because I knew a lot of Children of the Sun people were going to be down there. And sure enough, I had a taxi take me somewhere, and there they were. They were all there in person. So it's we're all
divinely
connected.
Ordained. Yes, absolutely. It's even becoming more so that way. I mean, I just had an experience, and this is like so minimal, but it's so telling. I was I have a website guy who's a good friend of mine, and he helps me with my website. And you know, I was trying to get in touch with him. He was out of town. We couldn't get in touch with each other, but just by setting that intention. So I got on the plane yesterday to come to San Diego from Bend, Oregon, and I go to my seat, you know, aisle number 3, and there he is sitting in my seat. Sitting there.
Oh,
I'm like, what are you doing in my seat? He's like, what are you doing here? And, you know, so it was like our travel agent, you know, obviously coordinated that one for us to meet. And, you know, I think that's what's happening now. And, you know, I think people really need to understand that. Like, as the vibration raises on this planet, stuff like that. You know, one of the first spiritual books I ever read was The Celestine Prophecy. And Yeah, and it was really cool because, you know, that whole book was just about, like, you know, everything happens for a reason. There's no coincidences. So just look out. You know, beware of who you meet. Be aware of who you meet. Because, you know, when you set that intention to really walk your medicine path, your highest path, if you just set that intention every day, it's like these divine coincidences just start to happen, you know?
They do.
And they're happening. They do happen, and they're happening more and more easily now. And, you know, so manifestation right now is it's very powerful, you know? It's like what we really want, you know, what we really deeply intention is happening now much more easily. And so if we wake up and we just ask for, you know, to walk our highest path, you know, thy will, not my will, so to speak, you know, walk our medicine road, be the greatest light we can be in this world, and really ask for that every day, magic happens. And it's, you know, there's less resistance. You know, 2 years ago, I didn't feel comfortable talking about the Arcturians. I didn't feel comfortable saying that I'm visited by blue people. And
how long ago
that
was that?
Of,
what did you say? How many years ago?
Two years ago.
2 years ago. That's fast.
It's fast, right? You know. And now today, I'm more than happy. You know, I'll go on Oprah and talk about them. I don't care. You know, it's like because I know and I've seen that there's so many people out there that go, oh yeah, wow, really? Because I had an experience too, and me too. You know what I mean? Everybody's having these experiences, and, you know, they're just looking for a place to be able to feel safe enough to talk about them, you know?
I do. Mm-hmm. That's true. There's the Elohim I'm affiliated with the Ascended Master teachings, and the Elohim, Arcturus, and Victoria, I don't know, the Urantia book kind of ties in the Ascended Masters with the civilizations, how they, the angels and the seraphim, and how it's, everything is connected, but yet there's different lineages of people's medicine, I guess you would say, their paths, and for them. Mm-hmm. But the Elohim Arcturus doesn't really mean that Arcturus and Victoria are from Arcturus. I don't know where that name comes from. I've been in these Ascended Master teachings for years, and I was thinking about what I wanted to talk to you about. Do you know anything about the Elohim Arcturus and Victoria? They hold the seventh ray of the violet flame, and they have a etheric retreat in Angola, Africa, and it's supposed to be beautiful. It's all crystalline temple, about four city blocks above Angola, and it's violet crystalline temple, etheric temple.
Sounds beautiful. Yeah, you know, no, I can't really speak to that. I mean, you know, I when you say the Elohim, are you tell me a little bit more about the Elohim? Are they're like ascended masters, basically?
Well, they're a whole lineage. They're the builders of form, you know, like they would hold the ray. They would build the ray, the violet ray, for transfiguration, for freedom. That's kind of their job, and they're in charge of the earth, the elements of earth, wind, and fire, for building.
That makes sense. You know, yeah. No, I understand who you're speaking about now. You know, it's I was doing some channeling one morning a couple weeks ago, and I was asking the Arcturian, one of the Arcturian entities that I channel, she calls herself Galadriel, and I was asking her about, you know, what is the fifth dimensional reality, and she was telling me, you know, it's kind of the edge of identity. She was saying it's like in the fifth dimension, we still have hair, nose, eye, ears, teeth, and things like that. But it's like this great golden gateway to, like, where beyond the fifth dimension, it's like things become much more formless. We're working with, you know, kind of energies like it sounds like you're describing there. And so it sounds to me like maybe that's they're working in dimensions beyond, because it's almost like they're bringing qualities through, right? It's like they're bringing, really working on in a more formless level to bring form. So if they're bringing form, maybe they're working on a formless level. Maybe they're higher dimensional beings. I don't know, but
I just hear these names: the Elohim, Arcturus, and Victoria of the seventh ray and of light.
Uh-huh.
And I'm always trying to synthesize and put things together in that way.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah.
Well, how do the Arcturians educate their children? Do they? I bet it's so different from here, because it's sit down, be quiet, you know, don't move, type of listen to me. I mean, they're getting away from that more and more, but you know, it's still everybody has their spot to sit and write. I have to learn to write, and I have to learn to read still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Education, and I'm just doing some listening here. Education,
okay.
It's much more about experience. It's working with energies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of kind of I think the biggest problem here is that there's a quote unquote educational system that is supposed to work for everybody, and the reality is that it doesn't. We're all individual, we're all unique, and we all have different ways of learning and different gifts, different medicines. So if you work with sort of from the inside out with the child, you work with their spirit. And you really listen to what their gifts are, what they're drawn to do. It's a different form of education. You're not placing the education on top of them, so to speak. You're holding structure for them, but you're allowing them to sort of guide the education process in a way from their own spirit. So that's how they do it there. They're They're working with energies. They're working with groups. They're really allowing. They're designing exercises so that children can access their potential, their potentiality, and you know, as a child begins to see their potentiality, they get more and more inspired, and it's like they're hoeing their life's path, and they celebrate that. You know, they celebrate a child awakening to their own potential, having a realization about the magic they carry in whatever arena that is, because there's many arenas to life, as we know. So that's celebrated, that's encouraged. It's really about potentiality and openness. You know, it's like the last thing you want to do to a child is put limits on their potentiality, and they don't do that. They're into expressive freedom. So they allowed the child to be in his or her expressive freedom, awakening to their own soul gifts. Maybe there's a class, a structure. There's always structure. You know, structure is important.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like every child has kind of a unique experience of their potential that they're totally free. They're totally free to revel in, to roll around in. It's like diving into a big pool that they get to swim around, they get to experience it, they get to talk about it, they get to, and they're encouraged to go deeper in that, as opposed to, oh, this is not the right way to learn, this is the right way to learn. You know, it's like the only thing they're working on clearing really is limits.
Well, I feel really frustrated for young boys about 4, 5, and 6 who have absolutely no ear for phonics and this kind of thing. They're just not ready. They would rather, and I'm not trying to be sexist here or anything like that, but they would much rather be over there with a box of Legos and building and constructing and not really hat, cat, bat, sat. They really don't care about that, and I believe they will learn to read and to force that, make them sit still and do that. It's okay to present it, but to mandate it at 4, 5, and 6 years old, it just doesn't seem, it doesn't honor what they're good at. So I love to hear that their path is honored and they're encouraged to work with their gifts, and the other things will fall into place when the brain is ready, or I just don't see forcing this. And we have a lot of behavior problems in the schools because they're just not interested. They just don't. They don't
care.
They're
not interested. They're not interested at all. And because, and they're really functioning at a higher level than we are. Right.
Yes.
I mean, the children coming in today are absolutely amazing. In fact, I had a group in Oregon, in Bend, Oregon. There's a woman there named Malia who runs a house called Ohana House, and it's for young people in who are basically rehabbing, you know, from some pretty serious stuff, you know, heroin and, you know, hardcore abuse and these kinds of things. And the kids are I don't know, anywhere from maybe 18, 19, up through maybe mid-20s. So I see them as the Indigo children. I see them as that generation.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought a whole group of them to one of my channelings one night. And I was at first, I was like taken aback. I was like, wow, I can't believe you brought all these guys here. Are they ready for this? You know, I was like, not sure if they were ready, because the energy can be pretty strong and you know, deep in these things. And so there were maybe, you know, 8 of these kids, and you know, maybe an equal amount of adults at this little gathering. And most of the adults were you know, doing a lot lot of spiritual work. And when the channeling started, you know, I had these kids just soaked it up. It was like they had no. It was like they were more comfortable in that energy than they were in this worldly energy. You know,
sure.
In fact, I had one friend who's done a lot of work with me. She said to me afterwards, she said, when you started channeling the Arcturians, she said, I felt my resistances come up. She said, and she's done a lot of work with me and just, you know, in a lot of ways. And she said, I felt my resistances come up. And she said, so I started, you know, kind of looking around the room, like energetically, just feeling around the room. And she said, when I tapped into the spirit of those kids, they were so wide open and they were so in joy and they were so free, just dancing with this energy that the Arcturians were bringing, this energy from the stars. And she was just like, amazed, you know? And
I do.
This is who's going to inherit this earth. You know, it's not going to be you and I, it's going to be them. And the young ones, like I have two children. I have a 6-year-old and a 5-year-old. And, I mean, they're like on a completely different wavelength. I mean, I talk to my kids, and I don't even feel like the parent most of the time.
No. I do.
So it's like, you know, just hold on to your hats. It's like they know that a lot of the vibrational stuff here is baloney. And they really deeply remember that reality. And the more we can support them in that, I mean, they've come here to bring that here. And the more we can support them in that, and that's why you're seeing so many, like, you know, ADD, and I don't even know, they have so many, like, terms these days for different disorders that, you know, kids have. But they're not disorders. They're so... The kids are so in tune with spirit. They're so in tune with these other dimensions. And we haven't caught up to that yet here.
No.
You know, so we classify them as disorders, right?
And I believe that if we would help them relax their system, you know, with meditation, but how many children in the public schools are meditating? They're not. I'm sure they're not, much less praying, or they come from families that are separated. They're living with grandparents. They're not with their parents. It's they're pretty much raising themselves, a lot of these children. So we're not guiding them the way they need to be guided.
That's right, and that's why they take so easily to you know, they're doing drugs so much younger these days. I mean, you know, you got
12-year-olds. Yeah.
It is, and they so deeply, you know, and drugs basically open that interdimensional reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a pretty unsafe way in most cases.
It's not safe, but it's a way.
It's a way, and they're more comfortable there than they are here, you know, because they remember that reality so vividly. So we need to really do everything we can. You know, as the elder generation, I'm only 38 years old, but, like, you know, we're the elder generation. We're bringing this stuff in, and you know, we need to do everything we can to create structures here and systems to where these young people, these kids, they can fly. We really honor their gifts and not look at them like they're deficient or messed up, or just don't have it together, you know?
I agree. Thank you so much for saying that. With the Arcturians saying yes.
Sorry.
you know, we are out of time. I hate to say. I wanted to reiterate again how people can get in touch with you, and I don't know if what you're doing in San Diego, is that open to the public, or is that a closed situation?
No, it's open to the public. Again, my event schedule is on my website,
okay.
www.starofarcturus.com, and yeah, so most of my events are open to public. If if you'd like to come. I also do some remote events, like some teleclasses and things like that that are open. And, you know, I love to travel. So if someone wants to invite me to come do some channeling for a group somewhere or teach a workshop, I'm always game for that, you know.
Well, you seem like a wonderful teacher. I plan to read your book. How can I get your book? Is it on Amazon or is it a email?
Yes, you can order it through my website. I believe it is on Amazon, but the easiest way is just to order it through my website, and we'll send you a copy.
Okay. And is it on Kindle? You can get it on Kindle?
I don't know if it's on Kindle. I'm pretty sure it's on Amazon. I'm not sure if it's on Kindle.
Okay.
So,
The Way Home. I love that. I'm going home.
Yes. we're going together.
Yes.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having
David.
Me as a guest.
Yes, I'd love to have you back at some time. Anytime you would like to come on, I'd love to talk to you and learn more about what you do. And maybe we could have a show where people could call in and you could demonstrate some work that you do with the Arcturians.
Oh, sure, yeah. I would love to. I would be more than happy to do some channeling on the show, and people could call in and ask questions and things like that. So that would be great. I'll come back anytime you want, Vicki.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us, and I will see you in 2 weeks. Return to Shambhala. This is Vicki Goodwin. Have a wonderful evening, morning, wherever you are. Take care. Love you. Goodbye.